Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
1 hour down, two to go. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, April 14th, and I'm broadcasting to you live from downtown Memphis, Tennessee. AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios, our flagship station, but by no means our only affiliate, as we're going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, including right here in Memphis, AM 1600 WNQM. We've certainly got Memphis saturated, and the world too, for that matter. If you want to tune in online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where the official internet simulcast is there, as well as the broadcast archives. As we mentioned, a very busy show tonight, a very busy second hour indeed, as I welcome back my good friend, the editor of American Renaissance Magazine, the incomparable Jared Taylor. And you know, after such an uplifting and triumphant American Renaissance conference that we shared last month in Nashville, we should be having Jared on tonight to celebrate, really. But unfortunately, Jared is with us to talk about something a little more distressing. But first, Jared, how are you tonight?
Very well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm hanging in there, my friend. You know, another evening, another battle, and we engaging in it together right now. Jared, as you know, I got in touch with you about midweek. You were my first choice as a guest to tackle this particular subject because you have a relationship with both of the men who were dismissed from National Review in recent days for telling the truth. I guess with that, I've kind of let the cat somewhat out of the bag if people didn't already know. But Jared, can you break down exactly why you're on the show this evening?
Yes. John Derbyshire, who has been a columnist at the National Review for, I think more than 10 years, and is probably one of National Review Online's best beloved and most popular writers, was fired because of a TechyMag.com article he wrote in which he pretended to be giving a talk to his children. And the gist of the talk essentially was what everyone knows to be true, namely that large crowds of blacks are dangerous, that blacks on average are less intelligent than whites, and that it's simply a matter of safety to conduct one's life accordingly. Well, it took about 48 hours for National Review to fire him on account of that. And then the second thing, of course, is about 3 days later, National Review Online discovered that Robert Weisberg had given a talk at the conference that you just mentioned, where you and I were both speakers. And simply the fact of having attended an American Renaissance conference was enough to make him persona non grata. So he's no longer writing for National Review.
And it wasn't even anything that he wrote that got him in hot water. It was just guilt by association, apparently.
You know, he has real reservations about what he calls white nationalism to begin with. And he gave a talk in which he said anything that's based on racial identity for whites is dead on arrival. So he was really criticizing the whole idea of racial nationalism, but that didn't make any difference. Simply the fact of having rubbed shoulders with the likes of you and me. I noticed that in many of the columns, the fact that you were one of the speakers was one of the most damning facts about the American Renaissance Conference, and a reason possibly just all by itself to fire Robert Weisberg.
And of course, when they mentioned me in some of these online articles in trying to muddy the reputation of Professor Weisberg, the reason I was such a bad guy to hang around was because I had a pro-white radio show, and that was basically the worst thing that they could say about me.
That's right.
And certainly they don't say the same thing about Jesse Jackson's kin, who do the same. But, you know, well, there was one thing Weisberg said that I think rings true. And, you know, I think some of the things he said, obviously, he's not entirely with us. I think that would be an understatement. But on some of the issues that I guess you could say would animate us, Jared, I met him at the conference. I want to say this. I had a pleasant exchange with him and was happy to have done so. But, yeah, he said basically what's going on at National Review is they're like the wayward Christian, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have his remarks right in front of me, but he said basically it's like the guy who goes to church a couple of times out of the year just to keep appearances and to make other people believe that he's an upstanding member of the church or of the community. He says every now and then organizations like National Review have to sacrifice a couple of folks just to make sure that people know that they are walking in line with political correctness. And Weisberg was right about that.
Yes, the sad and sorry thing really about this is that the so-called right, the so-called conservatives, let the left tell them what they may and may not say, who they may and may not publish. That's the most appalling thing about it. And when it turned out that some tin-horn lefty organization called the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights, isn't that a pretentious name for a one-man show? That's Leonard Zeskin, essentially. He's the one who put up on his little website the fact that Robert Weisberg was at the conference. Well, National Review, when it announces that Robert Weisberg is going to be fired and is no longer going to be allowed to write for the magazine or for the website, they thanked the people that called it to their attention. My gosh, it's as if they got down on their knees and kissed the feet of people who hate them.
That's right. Yeah, and this is the thing, Jared. You're really pumping me up now. Now, one of the people that called in to complain patronized the sponsors of National Review, nor are any of the people who called in to complain going to subscribe to National Review now that they have slit the throats, figuratively speaking, of Derbyshire and Weisberg. And again, I think the sacking of Weisberg is even more incredible because, to an extent, because number one, he didn't write anything. He came to our conference, sure, but he gave a speech that, you know, I don't think anyone at National Review would have much disagreed with. He proclaims himself to be a 1960s colorblind liberal, but yet just by being in the same room with people who I think carry, let's just say what they are, traditional American values. Certainly the people in that room would have been moderate by the standards of America in the 1950s in many regards. But just by being in that room, he too was given his walking papers. You know, what's so sensational about it, Jared, is that at the end of the day, these chronic malcontents like Leonard Zeskin and these people who do nothing more with their lives than look for people whose lives they can make miserable. You know, me and you, Jared, people like us, men of integrity and honor, I have never wanted to harm anyone else by taking away their job, as it seems as though the left is all too eager to do.
Yeah.
But the point is, they have no more power than the power that is given to them by frauds like Rich Lowry, the head honcho at National Review. If he had just said, "I appreciate your call, but we believe in diverse opinions here," that would have been the end of it, right?
Yes, exactly. That's what is so appalling. The left has, as you say, only so much power as these so-called conservatives are prepared to grant to it. And for them not to realize that, as John Derbyshire himself says, the more you feed the beast, the stronger and the more arrogant it becomes. You sacrifice people one after another like that, and that doesn't satisfy its hunger. It just gets hungrier and hungrier and
hungrier. That's right. Appeasement never works. It only creates bloodlust. And Jared, with that, we're coming up for our first commercial break. I know you're out of town this evening and very busy schedule, so we have you for one more segment. I want to take full advantage of that, but first we got to go to a commercial break. Stay tuned, everybody. The incomparable Jared Taylor back with us right after this.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
When the truth is found, welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. One more segment with Jared Taylor, and we want to take full advantage of it. Again, the reason for Jared's appearance tonight is that he has worked closely with the two men who were, let's just say, released from National Review this week, John Derbyshire and Robert Weisberg. Weisberg for appearing at the American Renaissance Conference in and of itself, and John Derbyshire for writing a column that was thoughtful, yet provocative, and at the end of the day, really just reinforced very elementary truths about racial differences. It certainly wasn't anything hardcore. And in that article itself, he mentioned that when you're talking about blacks, there are very good members in their community, upstanding members, people we would all be friends with. But here's the talk. Here's the talk as a general should go by. And, you know, the great hypocrisy about it, Jared, is, of course, everything that John Derbyshire wrote is, I think we can safely say, a blueprint for the way Rich Lowry lives his life, remembering that Rich Lowry is the editor of National Review who let Derbyshire go. And it's not just Rich Lowry. It's all liberals who live within the confines of the gated communities, so on and so forth. But, Jared, back to the Derbyshire article and the fact that we're saying that, yes, the left-wing radicals who seek to have people fired from their jobs for writing things with which they disagree have only the power given to them by the limp-wristed and spineless leadership in the so-called conservative establishment, people like Rich Lowry. Jared, basically, just pick it up and take it from there. I want a little bit more about Derbyshire's column. What about it was so incredibly damning?
Well, as you say, and as the great Joe Sobrant put it, probably as succinctly and as cleverly as I've ever heard, in their mating and migratory habits, liberals are no different from the members of the Ku Klux Klan.
I have run that before. One of the greatest quotes of all time.
Yes, yes. And so I'm quite, I don't know Rich Lowry, but I know, without ever having met him, without ever having spoken about, knowing nothing about him personally, that he lives his life exactly the way that John Derbyshire is telling his children to live their lives. That's what is so breathtaking about this, the utter hypocrisy of it all. It used to be that you could be burned at the stake for saying things that people disagreed with, but now you can be figuratively burned at the stake for saying things that are not only true, but that everyone knows to be true. That's what's so appalling about this. There are certain truths, simply to mention them, and you're out of polite society. At the same time, in Bob Weisberg's defense, if you will, he did say some things that these days, as opposed to National Review back in the healthy days, would disagree with violently. Bob Weisberg did point out that it is entirely legitimate for whites to prefer the company of other whites and to want to live in societies that reflect the values and the culture of whites. That's something that National Review would never dare say today.
True.
He also said that one of the reasons why whites prefer the company of other whites and their societies is because there are these intractable differences, racial differences in intelligence. Now, back, I'd say as late as the 1990s, certainly the whole question of race and IQ was a legitimate subject in National Review. Not anymore. And if you go back, to the 1950s, 60s, even maybe early 70s, the whole idea that whites had some interest in preserving their societies, their communities, that had some support, certainly 1950s and 60s. But that, too, that's out the window. And for a magazine that was founded on the idea that it was going to stand athwart history yelling stop, now, as somebody in recent commentaries pointed out, no, they're no longer doing that. They're running along behind saying, please, please slow down just a little bit. The idea of telling history stop, that's completely out the window at National Review. It's a pathetic, pathetic degeneration.
Jared, I will remind you of your own brilliance here, just in case you need to be reminded of such. But I piggybacked on some of the original research, if you will, or delving into the archives of National Review. In the September 2000 issue of American Renaissance, you dug up some incredible passages that were written by James Kilpatrick for National Review in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s. So for anyone who needs a refresher's course, go to Friday's postings at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Read the entry entitled Things Sure Have Changed at National Review. There you will find basically American Renaissance's research with a couple of comments before and after from yours truly. Read the kind of magazine that National Review used to be. They used to be very forthright with regards to the racial question. And is this even the same magazine we're talking about now? Firing the same magazine. I'm not going to give away. I'm not going to spell it out for you, folks. You got to read it for yourself because it's too priceless and too truthful. But this is the same magazine that fired Derbyshire for saying just basic common sense truths that we all know to be true, including the liberals.
Well, no, Brother Edwards, you asked the $64 question. Is it the same magazine? And the answer is no. It is not the same magazine.
Same name.
No, exactly. It has turned tail on everything that it used to stand for. It's really, as I say, a sorry and saddening, even disappointing degeneration.
Yeah, but I want to say this, Jared, and I don't mean to cut you off by all means, but we only have 2 or 3 minutes here left, and I want to say this, and I want to see if you agree. This is the way National Review was. This is the way it is now.
Right.
When our ideas were fashionable, National Review was an explicitly racialist publication. Now that cultural Marxism is trendy, they have shifted their ideology accordingly. This is basic human nature. Very few people have core principles that they stick with no matter what. I believe that when our ideas become in vogue again, National Review, if and when that day comes, will shift back to the right. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, of course. Of course. I think, you know, they stick their fingers in their mouths, they hold it up to the air, they see which way the wind is blowing, and that's the way they're going to go. No, they don't want to stick their necks out too much. Just a little bit, maybe, but not too much. It's sad, but that's human nature. As you say, very, very few human beings, when it gets right down to it, have anything that you could describe as a backbone.
That's right. Well, and I'll tell you this in closing, because I know we only have a few seconds left with you, and what a what an incredibly fast 30 minutes it's been, as it always is with you, Jared. To close the book, though, here, folks, go to Amrin.com and read more about their coverage of the firings of John Derbyshire and Professor Robert Weisberg. Jared, the advocates of tolerance and diversity certainly aren't the practitioners of tolerance and diversity when it comes to people like John Derbyshire and Robert Weisberg, people with whom they find disagreement with, are they?
No, they're certainly not. And I would urge your listeners, if they do go to the Amrin.com page, to read the interview that we published with John Derbyshire, in which he reflects himself on what has happened to him. Very enlightening, very even entertaining.
Jared, I knew it was going to be a great interview with you tonight, but I don't think I'm going too far as to say this has been one of the best interviews of the year, and it's been a very important topic, and I'm glad you were on for a few minutes. I know you're busy tonight. You're out of town. You're on business. I'm glad you found a few minutes for our audience tonight. We're all the better for it, and we look forward to the next time, hopefully under better circumstances.
James, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Jared Taylor, everybody, check out his work at amrin.com. And when we come back, we're going to shift gears. Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, is in the house. And we're going to be talking with Reverend Ted Pike of truthtellers.org, who is going to be back to provide us a back-to-back update on GCB, the anti-Christian show from
Don't
ABC Television. We'll be right back.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. For anyone who may be tuning in late tonight, I hope you didn't miss Jared Taylor. But if you did, one of our best interviews of the year so far, be sure to check it out for yourself in the political cesspool broadcast archives available for you immediately after, well, nearly immediately after tonight's show at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, you're going to have to indulge a little bit of in-studio banter. I'm going to ask our producers if we have Reverend Ted Pike on the line yet, and you're just going to have to listen. They're calling it up right now. I want to say one more thing about Jared's interview. It was obviously great. You know, that's the first thing you need to know. But these people that call it, that call in and seek the firings of people with whom they disagree, these lowlifes, I tell you what, they are absolutely contemptible. If you go to MediaMatters.org, for instance, they list every day, all of the sponsors of Rush Limbaugh, for instance. Every day, all they do is call the sponsors of Rush Limbaugh. They call the sponsors of whomever they don't like. And for what? Because they disagree on politics. It's not because they are doing anything nearly as offensive as what ABC is doing with their airing of GCB, the show whose name is so vulgar we can't speak it on the air. But ladies and gentlemen, rejoining us now, the man who has logged more appearances on this radio program than any other guest in the history of the show, Reverend Ted Pike, was with us last week to share with us the details, the background about ABC's new anti-Christian show, GCB. He shared with you the crusade that he is leading in working to get this show off the air. And the 30 minutes we had with Reverend Ted Pike last week wasn't nearly enough, so we asked him to come back, and he has been gracious enough to rejoin us tonight on the Political Cesspool Radio program for an encore interview, part two of the interview that started last week. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Ted Pike is the National Director of the National Prayer Network at truthtellers.org. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again, James.
Well, my friend and brother, it's great to have you back. That being said, last week when you left us, we were on the eve of the GCB Easter special, during which on the day Christians celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, they aired back-to-back episodes, mid-season episodes of GCB. Ted, can you pick up there and let us know what's happened in the week since then?
Well, the good news is that just yesterday, Werther's Candy joined Frito-Lay Pepsi as two major sponsors last week, jumping ship, letting the world know in quite forthright language that they will not be sponsoring advertising on GCB. This is good news. That brings it up to 11 commercial sponsors. There's a lot to go, obviously. We have about four episodes left. Last Sunday was the fifth and sixth episode back-to-back. Very, very uncalled for. As you mentioned, it might be appropriate at the beginning or the end of a season to have that kind of a doubling up. But actually, ABC made an announcement. They promoted the Easter special. They said, nobody does Easter like GCB. They were rubbing it in the face. And as you are very aware, if you did listen to the program, but we have sent out e-alerts completely describing the contents. It was full of the most intense degradation of Christianity, deriding Christians as materialistic, corrupt, homosexual, gossipy, and so on. This was probably the most obscene two-hour segment that we've witnessed so far.
Well, Reverend Ted Pike, God bless you and your efforts for leading the charge to go after the sponsors of this anti-Christian monstrosity. And I want to draw a parallel. I mean, we were talking about earlier before you came on, Ted, about these left-wing chronic malcontents that go after the sponsors of anyone with whom they disagree politically. But they do it out of spite, out of hatred. But yet we have a show like this, and they are completely silent. There's no going after the sponsors of GCB from the chronic malcontents that go after, you know, the sponsors of Rush Limbaugh, for example, and others. And so, you know, Ted Pike and Ted Pike alone, and I will give Ted the credit on this. Amen. I mean, a man who shot down or led the charge to shoot down hate crimes, federal legislation, time after time after time. Ted Pike is a man who has a track record of getting things done, a track record of effectiveness. Ted Pike is leading the charge at truthtellers.org to combat this anti-Christian programming. And as a result of his efforts, 11 sponsors to date have withdrawn their support of this ABC show, which is absolutely incredible. Now, Ted, I want to ask you this, and this was, I think, what we were getting to last week when we ran out of time. Why isn't every church in the country joining you in your efforts? And before you answer, I would like to say, well, they fear the Jews, or they worship the Jews more than Jesus Christ. I mean, on this show, Ted, as you know, and as you do, we give full disclosure. We're not going to talk about GCB without talking about the people who are airing it, the people who are producing it, the people who are funding it. ABC is owned and controlled by radical Zionists. So we're going to mention that. But you don't have to mention that to take in a simple pamphlet into your church and say, listen, this is an anti-Christian show. Here are the sponsors. You don't even have to mention Jews to do that. So why aren't the churches doing it, Ted?
Well, the leaders are not speaking out. I cannot believe, literally, that I have lived to see this day. You know, when we were younger, my parents and my brother, we flew an old airplane all around America in 1980 to promote the National Day of Prayer. My father was called to the White House, the Oval Office, where he helped watch the signing of the proclamation of the National Day of Prayer. We hoped that a National Day of Fasting and Prayer would help bring America back. And the Reagan Revolution under President Reagan was seen as a tremendously optimistic sign after a half a century of darkness under FDR type of liberalism. And there was great action. These organizations, like even American Family Association, could bring in a million calls. They had tremendous clout. Was tremendous activism in the political religious right at that time. But what we've seen is with every hate bill fight over the past 12 years, every time it comes around, there's less fire, less activism, more defeatism. And I was just fighting a losing battle. I did play a crucial role in defeating the federal hate bill on five different instances. But in the last time, I was disgusted. We came up to 1 week before the passage in the Senate of the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act. And that bill passed by only two votes, and yet people like James Dobson and FRC and the whole religious right was full of skepticism and apathy and silence, incredible silence. I couldn't do anything to rouse them. I'd call, I would browbeat them, I'd call up, focus on the family, why aren't you doing anything, and get evasive answers. There's something terrifically, terribly wrong in the hearts, in the consciences. You know, it reminds me of in the Old Testament, Eli the priest had gotten so used to allowing his sons. He would browbeat them a little bit, saying, my sons, this is not God's law, you know, that they have sex in the temple with the girls who came there. But he didn't put any teeth into his actions. And the problem is that for the last century, all of these leaders, evangelical leaders, literally have protected the worst sheep, the wolves in sheep's clothing, the ADL, the SPLC, the the ACLU, all of these Jewish attack groups receive full-time protection from the religious Christian conservative leaders in this country who hide them and all of their deviltry, corruption, pro-homosexuality, all of this. They hide that from the American Christian people. And if you are advocating and really working to give aid and comfort to God's enemies and now Christ's enemies, that rots your soul. It rots your conscience. Just like Eli. Eli, the priest, God says, I proclaimed a perpetual curse on you because you honored your sons more than me, because you kicked at my sacrifice. And that's exactly what's going on now. We have a phenomena that not one of them will speak out, and they're just like Eli.
Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Ted Pike, leading the charge against GCB. Join his efforts at truthtellers.org. He'll be with us again after the commercial break when Eddie the Bombardier Miller joins us. Stay tuned, everybody.
We'll return.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program. Don't forget, you are in store for a raucous third hour this evening. And that's coming up right after this final segment of the second hour. But first, I want to welcome back our guest, Reverend Ted Pike of truthtellers.org. And Ted, you know, we've been talking about this ongoing campaign against ABC for the airing of its anti-Christian monstrosity, GCB. My co-host here, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, is going to his church tomorrow, which is a fairly prominent Baptist church here in the Memphis area. And he is taking your, just as we've encouraged everyone else to do, and I encourage them again. I want to issue the call again. Everyone listening to this show tonight, if you're going to church tomorrow, go to truthtellers.org, print off Ted's simple speech and the listing of all of the current sponsors of GCB and pass them out to the members of your congregation. Eddie, you're going to do that tomorrow. How do you expect that to go over? And then I'm going to turn over the interview with Ted Pike to you, my friend.
Well, sadly, James, to answer your question, I expect it to go like it always does. I will get almost zero positive response. There'll be one or two people will come to me when there's no one around, say, go get them, Ed. But when the dookie hits the fan, none of them will be there like it happened 3 weeks ago when I called our instructor on the carpet teaching the Esther class when I reminded him that even the Jews, if they do not accept Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. Now, getting back Reverend Ted, I tell you what, I admire you. I've used your work for many long times, a long time. As a matter of fact, I just told James I probably plagiarized verbally a lot of your stuff. But, you know, this I'm going to talk just for a minute, Ted. I'm going to throw it over to you and ask you some questions if you don't mind. This struggle we're seeing going on right now, this attack on Christianity with this GCB, it's nothing new. It's just like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. This attack on Christianity and against God actually goes back to when Cain slayed Abel. And fast forwarding, you know, if you see all the way through the Old Testament where the Israelites, they disobeyed, and they were constantly punished by God. You know, he would send them plagues. He would send, drought. He would put them in the captivity in Babylon and the captivity under the Assyrians. Fast forwarding to the New Testament, you see, you know, the Jews, when they were responsible for having Jesus Christ killed, and for, you know, he had to die before he could be our Savior. But, you know, and I think it's over in probably Matthew. You see, Matthew or John, it says, you know, when Pontius Pilate tried to let Jesus Christ off the hook, and they would have none of it. The Jews wanted the Barabbas to be released, Pontius Pilate said, well, he's washing the blood off of his hands. And the Jews said, that's okay. You know, let the blood of Jesus Christ be on our head and upon our children. Well, you know, ever since they crucified Jesus Christ, these Jews, Jesus killing, Christ hating Jews, it's been the same thing. They've been battling us in every arena possible, in the political arena, in the social arena. And this show we're talking about, GCB, is just one of many shows. I mean, there's been thousands of them that mock Christians, that you know, they make us look like idiots. And this is just the latest show, which is really more blatant, and I expect it to get even more blatant, Reverend Pike. But like we said earlier, I've been taking your material for quite some time into the arena at the Southern Baptist Church, and it's just almost like when you do that, it's like you're fondling their privates, or you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit himself. Yes. To say anything about a Jew without genuflecting, you know, toward Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. And it just seems like, you know, and I'm carrying on the fight, and I'll never, ever give up. But so far, I mean, I'm just getting, I'm on a 100-point scale, maybe getting a 2 as a positive response. And I was going to ask you, Reverend Pike, if you have any suggestions, which I doubt you can think of anything I hadn't already thought of, but what do you have to say about that, Reverend Pike?
Well, the truth of the matter is that Jesus said that if they hate you, as my representatives in the world, they hate me. If they persecute you, they persecute me. If they, you see, what's going on here is that Jesus is being blasphemed as the phony, false prophet, charlatan that they claim he rose from the dead, but he has no power to change the human heart and to make saints and make righteous citizens. And what these women of Dallas, Texas are epitomizing is, according to the Jews of GCB, the utter futility of being a Christian. They're so full of backbiting and hypocrisy, backstabbing, and all of this kind of thing. It's just a big advertisement that says Christianity doesn't work. And if Christianity doesn't work, then the author of Christianity, our Savior Jesus Christ, was a phony. There's no such thing as spiritual power coming out of his death and resurrection. Now, if you were driving along the road and you saw Jesus Christ in the ditch with a bunch of evil Jews whipping him and beating him and killing him, practically killing him, and yet you drove on blithely and said, well, I can't get involved in that because with all those Jews attacking Jesus, it might seem that I'm anti-Semitic for coming to his aid. Well, that's exactly what's going on here. Jesus is being kicked and whipped and beaten and brought to the point of exhaustion, and the church is blithely driving by saying it's none of their affair. Well, Jesus makes it very clear that if we do not come to his aid in our time of opportunity and the aid of his servants, then he will be ashamed of us in the day of judgment. The issues here are very, very simple. His church is under vicious attack leading to last day's persecution, and our Lord warned us. He says they're going to deliver you up to their synagogues to be beaten and imprisoned and even killed. Now, that's a powerful prophecy by our Lord himself 2,000 years ago that this persecution of the last days is going to come from evil Jewish supremacists. And we know
Absolutely.
Who they are. We know that they're the Jewish media, the ADL, SPLC, ACLU, and so on. And to think that we can hide our heads in the sand and that this is not our fight as Christians, somehow the rapture is coming very soon. We'll all get a free elevator ride out of this mess we've helped to create through our negligence. This is all fantasy. We have to brace ourselves to be steadfast, to occupy, to resist evil while there still is time.
Reverend Pike, I'm glad you brought up the rapture. You know what? I don't know how you feel, but I think the rapture, like you say, is a fairy tale. If the rapture were true, I mean, if it actually happened, I would say, well, what happened to all those thousands, perhaps millions of Christians, you know, that were fed to the lions, the millions of Christians that were killed in Russia in the First World War, Second World War, the millions of Christians that were killed by Mao Zedong and Pol Pot, you know, what happened to them being raptured out? And, you know, the people are always fond of pointing out, you know, there was what, 60 million, 100 million Jews killed in Germany during the Second World War. You know, if they were so wonderful and they were the chosen people, why the hell weren't they taken out? But, you know, Reverend Pike, these people, you know, I can't figure it out. My Sunday school teacher, who I've always idolized almost, you know, I pinpointed him. I mean, I put it dead on. I asked him right flat out in a standing room only class at my church. I won't mention the name on the radio because I do need to go back. But, you know, but I asked him point blank. Do you or do you not have to accept Jesus Christ if you're a Savior? If you're a Jew, and I've referred him back to Scripture where it says, I think it's in John, in the 8th chapter of John, I think the 56th verse, right around there, it says that he said, Jesus was telling the Pharisees, he said, and I'm just paraphrasing, Abraham, your father Abraham, looked forward to my coming. And he saw my coming, and he was glad. I pointed out to them, and also pointed out, I think it's in Hebrews 11:11, I believe, or Hebrews 12. It's in Hebrews, Brother Pike. It says, even Moses, the great Moses, one of the greatest Jews that ever lived, when he said he was second only to Pharaoh. And Scripture says he rejected all this. He could have had any woman he wanted, money. He could have had anything they had on earth at that time. But he rejected all that because he foresaw the recompense of Jesus Christ. I pointed out to these people in our church, these Jews weren't saved just because they were Jews. Abraham was not saved just because God said, well, I look down here and see a guy named Abraham. He's a good guy, so I'm going to save him. I'm going to bless him. And by the way, that's a lie, too. It doesn't say in Scripture that Israel is who blesses Israel. It says he who blesses Abraham, he told Abraham, who blesses you, I will bless. Who curses you, I will curse. And it looks like we're about to wrap it up here, Reverend Pike. We just
Papa Dear Miller has learned his nickname, earned his nickname tonight, or re-earned it at least. The Bombardier. Ted. It's never enough time. Never enough time with you, my friend. Give out your website one more time. Eddie's fighting me for the microphone. All right, you got 10 seconds.
Hey, yes, Reverend Pike, I would love to get you back on, and we could talk about, we could really hone in on the rapture, and that's about all James is going to let me say, because I think we're about to burn into the commercial time. So I'll turn you back over to the James Meister.
Ted, give that website one more time where people can learn how they can join your crusade against GCB.
Yes, the truthtellers.org is where you come, where you get the whole list of sponsors. Just come there. It's ready to go. Email addresses, phone numbers. Let's take action. We've got 11 sponsors bailing out here. Let's go for the kill. And let's get the whole show of commercial support.
Thank you so much, Reverend Ted Pike. Ladies and gentlemen, join his efforts at truthtellers.org. Confederate History Month, we're revisiting it in the third hour right after this. God bless you, Ted.